Okay, so a good evening, everyone. As they used to say in Europe, before I begin to speak, I'd like to say a few words. So first of all, I want to say that it's been a pleasure to be with you. This is our last session, but as the saying goes, it's the not the end of the beginning. It's the end of the beginning and not the beginning of the end. Namely, anyone that would like to be in touch with me beyond these classes can find me obviously on the email and the WhatsApp that I sent or call me. It's really a pleasure to be in touch and it never bothers me. It really never bothers me and I'm happy to be in touch with anyone who would like to above and beyond these classes on a personal level. That's number one. So I'm going to put in the chat with your permission once again my cell number, which is also my WhatsApp, as well as my email, so that you can, of course, be in touch. Number two, this, of course, is part of the Web Yeshiva's classes, ongoing classes. The last two classes can be found online. This is the last of the three. And beyond it, I wanted to share that every day I record a 3-minute something that I call the Minyaner Spectator or the Spectator Minyaner. You can find it on YouTube. They're exactly 3 minutes, no more, of things that I see in shul that I think Gavoyim would be very interested in hearing about. And some of them are positive, some of them are the opposite of positive, and how I believe we should solve them. So you can look on YouTube. There are about 60-something of them since I began. And whoever would like to join can, of course, WhatsApp me or email me, and I'll put you on the list. I send out the daily WhatsApp with the video so you don't have to look for it every day. Number three, if people are interested in more things about davening, then God privileged me to publish two books on davening. The first is called Daven Your Age, and the second is called Musings of a Minyaner. Some of the things I admit we shared here, but sort of between the lines. But if you want to see various things about davening, then you're welcome, of course, to see it in those books. Whoever would like, I'm happy to send them the details. I don't make money on any of them, so it's obviously something for your benefit, and if you would be interested in obviously reading them. So without further ado, that's the introductions. So let's begin. Once again, any questions, feel free to either write it in the chat or, of course, ask it as I'm speaking. So what I'd like to do today is talk about a few things that I admit came up since our last class. People asked various questions, so I'd like to, in a way, clean the table and talk about them. The first issue is, what do you do if you get to shul and there's no minyan? So obviously, as we said last week, Birkot HaShachar, Psukei DeZimra, don't need a minyan, and you can obviously do it. You can do it with a chazan, whatever you would like. There's no need for a minyan for those parts. And my advice to any shul is that if davening begins at a certain time and there isn't a minyan in the morning, because time is of the essence, then you do begin as if there's a minyan when you get to Kaddish Derabanan, when you get to Kaddish Yotam at the end of the Korbanot and right before Pesukei DeZimra. Obviously, you don't say it if there isn't a minyan. Going in chronological order, you start at Pesukei DeZimra, and there is a minyan. First of all, I want to give my opinion. My opinion is you shouldn't stop Pesukei DeZimra for a Kaddish. That's my opinion. There's plenty of Kaddishim after davening. Aleinu, Shir Shel Yom, those that say Ein Kelokeinu. I don't think there's a good reason to stop Pesukei DeZimra for a Kaddish. However, you should know that Poskim allow it. Rav Ovadia and others allow it. And therefore, if you have your congregation, and I'm sure some of you have this, where the majority of the daily minyan are people saying Kaddish, and every Kaddish is very dear and near to them, and they're the ones that come on time to say Kaddish, and you feel that for them it's going to be very detrimental that they don't say Kaddish, then you could stop Pesukei DeZimra and say Kaddish if, as I said, you feel there's a need. However, I'll tell you my opinion. Again, I don't think we should add Kaddishim. There's plenty at the end of davening. And number two, I also feel it's a bit of a halachic problem because We start Pesukei Dezimra with the words, Baruch She'amar, etc. Uvishirei David Avdecha Nahalilcha Hashem Elokeinu. With the songs, with the Pesukim of David, namely from Tehillim, we're going to praise you, God, up until Yishtabach. That's what we're going to do. When Kaddish is put into there, it's not the songs of David. It's beautiful songs. It's Kaddish, but it's not the songs of David. And from this perspective, that's why the Rambam and some others were against inserting Az Yashir into Pesukei Dezimra, because it doesn't come from David. It comes from the Chumash. It comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, who was dictated those words to put them in the Torah from God. However, once again, if you feel there's a need, then you could insert a Kaddish in Pesukei Dezimra. That's number one. Well, let's say you get to davening, there's no minyan for brachot, korbanot, Pesukei Dezimra, and then you get towards Yishtabach. What do you do? My advice is to finish Yishtabach, because Yishtabach is the final bracha of Pesukei Dezimra that you began earlier. The only person that should sort of be quiet, not talk, and not say Yishtabach is the Chazan. Namely, the one that you've nominated to be the Chazan from Baruch Hu and on should not say Yishtabach, but also should not talk, if possible, so that when the minyan comes, he says Yishtabach. The reason for that is a bit complicated. I'll give you the simple reason. The Chatzi Kaddish before Baruch Hu, there's a machloket. Does it refer to the Pesukei Dezimra we just finished? Or does it refer to the Birkot Kriyat Shema we're about to begin? Assuming it refers to what we finished, then there has to be some connection to what we finished. And therefore, from that perspective, there has to be a Yishtabach before the Chatzi Kaddish. So I say, we're about between the rock and the hard place. Yishtabach is the end of Pesukei Dezimra, and just sitting around means you're going to talk, which is a problem. So it's better to say Yishtabach and sort of get Pesukei Dezimra out of the way for everyone. The only person should be the Chazan, and preferably he should not talk. If he does talk, it's not the end of the world, but he should preferably not talk until the minyan comes in. If the minyan comes in at Baruch Hu, then basically Yishtabach, Chatzi Kaddish, Baruch Hu. I would suggest that if you have someone that just came in, try to, in a nice way, tell him, put on your talis and fill in quickly, so that he can answer Amen to the brachot of Birkot Kriyat Shema, and obviously Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba to Kaddish and Baruch Hu and everything else. But even if he doesn't, as long as he's in the room, then there isn't a terrible problem that he doesn't answer Amen. Many times in Shul we have that, where even though you have 10 people, not everyone answers. But the fact that there's a minyan there makes it less problematic. So if you get the minyan there, you're scot-free. If you don't get the minyan there, then you have two options. One option is everyone davens alone, and here you can't nominate a chazan, because for Birkot Kriyat Shema, if you have a chazan, it has to only be with a minyan. Not just because we say Dvarim Shebikdusha, like Vekara Ze'el Zeve Amar, and other things like that, where we're asking the Tzibor to answer the chazan, but even the regular Birchos Kriyat Shema, it could be a problem if there's a chazan, because there's an additional fulfillment when you say it in a minyan. The reason for that is that if you come into shul late and there is a minyan, you're supposed to skip Pesukei Dezimra as much as possible in order to get to Birkot Kriyat Shema with a minyan, preferably. So there is an additional fulfillment there. So there, everyone should say it alone, but without a chazan. If someone happens to come in while you're saying the Birkot Kriyat Shema, then theoretically, if you don't find this too strange, he can do what's called an halacha pores al hashma. Even though everyone's in the middle of Birkot Kriyat Shema, he can put on his talis tefillin quickly and say Baruch Hu, even with the Chatzi Kaddish perhaps, and then say Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech Oseh Shalom Uvorei Et Hakol, not say the rest, because everyone's in a different place than him. He catches up, everyone slows down a bit, that would be the preferable thing to do, And then you start the silent Amida together. And he says, Baruch Atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael. However, I will admit that looks a bit strange to most people. So if you don't think it's going to fly, then maybe you would forego. I'd also add that many a times by that time, I'm not so sure people have the time to stay in shul. So therefore, it's already a done deal. So if you get to the silent Amida without a minyan, and then a minyan comes in, that's a big machlokes. Can you do chazarat hashatz or not? Does the moment that you're obligated in chazarat hashatz, the silent Amida that you started with 10 and you didn't have it? Or no, it starts when you finish the silent Amida. In this case, I would suggest the best thing to do is to do a chazarat hashatz by virtue of the guy who came in late and didn't yet daven his Amida. So he will say his Amida, albeit out loud, and we'll answer Amen. And that for sure would be okay. If you want to do a Hecha Kedusha, that's possible. And if not, you can say the entire Amida out loud with Kedusha, and people can answer Amen, and that would be in place of the Chazarat Hashatz. That's in terms of if a minyan comes in late. Same thing would apply later with, basically, Chazarat Hashatz goes together with Tachanun, Ashrei Uvaletzion, all the way to Kaddish Titkabel. That's the chunk of the time that if you have a minyan at the beginning of it, you can say all of that. If not, you can't. So therefore, the opposite would be true as well. If you had a minyan and then someone got a Hatzalah call and left, and now you have 9, if you started Baruch Hu, the Birkot Kriyat Shema with a minyan, you can finish up until the silent Amida. When it comes to Chazarat Hashatz, I mentioned it's a machlokas. And the better thing I think in that situation is not to do Chazarat Hashatz and not Tachanun Asheri Valetzion, etc. Moving on, if you got the Hatzalah call in the middle of the Amida or in the beginning of Chazarat Hashatz, so you started Chazarat Hashatz with the minyan and then you lost it, in that case, you can finish Chazarat Hashatz, Tachanun, Ashrei Uvaletzion, and Kaddish Titkabel. That whole chunk goes together. One of the proofs of that is the Chazin doesn't necessarily have to take 3 steps back at the end of his Chazarat Hashatz, because he could take the 3 steps back at Kaddish Titkabel. Even though in the middle he walks around, it's still considered one chunk. So that's in terms of if the minyan leaves. So if the minyan left in Birkos Kriyat Shema, you can finish up until the silent Amida and including. If it left during Chazarat Hashatz, you can finish Chazarat Hashatz, Tachanun, Ashrei Uvaletzion, all the way to Kaddish Titkabel. With one exception. Laning. Laning is separate. Laning is not part of that chunk. So if you didn't have a minyan, 10 people on a Monday, Thursday, whatever it might be, at the time of laning, then you cannot lane. You only can lane if you have 10 people when you start laning. So, theoretically, on a Monday, tomorrow, there was a minyan at the beginning of Chazarat Hashatz. You can finish Chazarat Hashatz in davening, but you don't lane. You don't lane. You have to make up laning is a separate question. But, quite frankly, in the morning, when you don't have a minyan there, then you can't lane unless there's 10 people who are present during laning. If that happens, what do you do about laning? So, according to the regular psak halacha of the Mishnah Brura of most poskim, and I'm saying with the exception of Rav Soloveitchik, if on a Monday or Thursday you don't have a minyan, you're not obligated to make up Kriyas HaTorah. The obligation of Kriyas HaTorah is only on a Monday and Thursday if you happen to be in a minyan. So if you're on a plane traveling to Israel, say from America, and it's a Monday, and there is no minyan on the plane, or you don't join the minyan for good reasons on the plane, then there's no obligation for you to make up Kriyas HaTorah. It's a Chovat HaTzibur. If you happen to be in a minyan, then you're obligated to hear Kriyas HaTorah. Which means that if you happen to have a minyan on the plane without a Sefer Torah, then theoretically you'd have to make up Kriyas HaTorah. But if you didn't have a minyan, or you didn't daven in a minyan, then you do not make up Kriyas HaTorah. That's the normal psak halacha. Rav Soloveitchik and his Brisker family thought not. They thought that even if you're traveling on your own on a Monday morning, and a Monday afternoon you didn't hear Kriya Satora, you should go out of your way to make it up. I don't know how you're supposed to do that. Because according to their understanding, you also need 9 other people like you. And I've never in all my travels found 9 other people like me. So you should know it's out there. But the regular Psak Halacha is, if at the moment of laning you did not have a minyan, then you don't have to make it up. Now, if you want to make it up, and it's still Monday, and it's Mincha, and you have the time, and it's before Shkia, then you could make it up. If you happen to have a minyan at Mincha, then theoretically, you could make it up. The way Rav Soloveitchik did it was he did it like a fast day. He said Ashrei Chatzi Kaddish, then he did the Kriya Satara, Chatzi Kaddish, and went on with Mincha. However, there is another opinion that says you shouldn't make it part of Mincha, and therefore you should go ahead and either lain before or after Mincha. So Mr. Levine asks, what if you lose a minyan during Kriya Satora? The same rule applies. If you started with a minyan, you can finish the Kriya Satora. Now, you can play around a little bit and say, all right, we'll just lane 3 psukim, like we talked about last week, and not the whole thing, but I don't think you need to do that. If you started with a minyan, you finish that Kriya Satora. With, I would even say, maybe the Chatzi Kaddish afterwards. So the rule of the thumb is, if you start with a minyan, you finish that part of davening that you started as if there's a minyan there. However, you can't start the next part. Is to start at Vayehi Ben Sora or the first Aliyah? Good question. Vayehi Ben Sora is not the start for sure. It's just what we say, psukim. I would say it's when the first Aliyah begins, Baruch Hu. Then I believe that's the part where indeed you start the laning from. Now, I'll be honest with you. I was once at a minyan where this happened. They started laning. First bracha, Baruch Hu Hashem Amvorach. He started to say Baruch Hata, and someone ran out. He had a call. A tzalah call, probably, or his wife was pregnant. And in this particular minyan, they did something strange, which is not so strange. They basically read the entire Kriya Satora, but they did not ask 2 other people to come up on a Monday to get Aliyahs. They stopped the Aliyah. And they continued reading. They stopped the Aliyah and then they continued reading, very much like they used to do when they only gave brachot to the first and last guy. Not everyone in the middle that got Aliyahs ultimately got brachos. However, they made one little mistake, and that is they did not call up 2 other people. They should have called up 2 other people, and maybe the third guy should have made the final bracha. But it was a nice thought. Not exactly actuated correctly, but a nice thought it was. So that's in terms of Kriya Satora. If you start with a minyan, you can end as if there's a minyan there. The same thing is true with davening, as long as you started that chelik, that part of davening. So I would say Shachris is our biggest challenge in this regard, because Shachris is long. At Mincha, it's more like a hit and miss. Many of you, I'm assuming, do a Mincha Ma'ariv, which means Mincha is very close to Shkia, which means you don't have that much time. So either you get a minyan or you don't get a minyan. It's a very much of a hit and miss. However, at Mincha, the same thing would apply if you started Ashrei and Chatzi Kaddish, and you started the Amida, then obviously, no-brainer, you can finish the Amida. If you didn't start the Chatzi Kaddish, then everyone should daven the Amida alone. If you started Chazarat Hashatz, you can finish Chazarat Hashatz, Tachanun, Kaddish Shalem, and Aleinu with as if there's a minyan. In both situations, both in the morning and at Mincha, Chazarat Hashatz, Exutri, goes to Kaddish Tiskabel. It does not go to the Kaddish Yatom after Aleinu. The Kaddish Yatom after Aleinu is already a separate chelek of davening. So if you don't have a minyan there, the Avelim that morning cannot say Kaddish if there's no minyan there. So Shir Shoyom, Aleinu, all of that. Even though I could have heard in this ear that maybe the Kaddish Yatom after Aleinu is part of davening, because the Ramah paskins that even if you don't have a Yatom there, someone that's saying Kaddish, you have to say that one Kaddish, meaning someone who already lost a father and mother should say that Kaddish, which infers that it's part of davening. But when it comes to no minyan, we don't paskin that way. And we say it's a separate part, and indeed, if you don't have a minyan, you can't go ahead and say Kaddish there. So to sum up what we said until now, if you start with a minyan, you can end as if there's a minyan. If you didn't start with the minyan, we gave a few rules and regulations what to do. Again, my advice is, a minyan is at a certain time. Maybe wait a little bit, but you have to remember that the more you wait, the more you lose people anyway. And therefore, you shouldn't wait too long. Ma'ariv is very much like I said. If you started the Birkot Kriyat Shema with the minyan, you can say the Chatzi Kaddish and the Amidah. And probably the Kaddish Tizkabel as well as Ma'ariv. Because Ma'ariv, everything is connected. There's no Chazarat Hashatz. But again, after the Aleinu, no Kaddish Yatom. That's in terms of if you have a minyan or not. Now, let's go on a bit further with the second topic that people asked. When the designated laner doesn't show up, it happens that on a Monday or a Thursday, less on Shabbos, you don't have a designated laner there or someone that knows how to lane, and therefore, what do you do? So I have to here give credit to my old community in Halifax, where I was the rabbi for 4 years, and they were very smart. They at the beginning didn't say I had to lane every week, and sort of when we were about to cut the deal, they mentioned that. And I sort of took a step back, but because everything else was closed, I said I'll try. And it was very difficult for the first year, maybe first year and a half. And then, Baruch Hashem, it's a wonderful asset for life to have the laning in your head. Because Baruch Hashem, at those minyans where there is no laner, it's not so difficult for me to get up there, even on a Shabbos, and lane. With maybe a mistake or two. Which is, in my opinion, within the legitimate. The problem is, when you don't have someone that knows how to lane, which is very common. And what do you do in that situation? I was in the airport recently, early morning flight, so in Israel. So I checked in, and after I checked in, I went to the shul in the airport. It was Shachar's time, and there was a minyan of Hasidim, very packed. So I joined the minyan, and when it came to laning, no one knew how to lane. No one knew how to lane, so I, with my knitted kippah here and my Sfaradi pronunciation, I lane for them. And they were very appreciative. So I decided, since I lane for them, I have an in. So I asked them where they came from. I know a bit of Abyssal Yiddish, so Migdaf Redden in Yiddish. And then they told me that many Hasidic Rebbes insist on laning every Shabbos, but they don't know how to lane. So I said, so what do you do? They said, the Rebbe looks in the Chumash and then lanes the Pasuk. Looks in the Chumash and then lanes the Pasuk. I said, that's a good system, but it takes forever. Imagine, every Pasuk is looking back and forth and back and forth. And they told me, yeah, it does take forever. Whoever wants to daven with the Rebbe, that's the price they pay. So if you're a Chassid and you want to daven with your Rebbe, I'm sure you want to pay your price. However, as you know, if you're not a Hasidic Rebbe, then, and you're not a Chassid of that Rebbe, then I believe you're not about to pay that price. So what do you do? What do you do in that situation? So either you do what that Rebbe did, or someone whispers into your ear how to read the Pasuk, and if you have a short-term memory, you'll probably be able to read it. It's annoying, it's difficult. I really can't advise anything else because you're obligated in laning. There's a minyan there. The option is not to skip it because you're obligated. The best we can do is that. Or the guy just reads, and if he makes a mistake, an essential mistake, not in the tune, in the actual pronunciation of the word, A, or B, as we talked of last week where he changed the significance, or B, that he doesn't stop the pasuk in the right place. Those are the two cardinal rules that are problematic. Outside of that, I think we have to be makel. We have to be makel on the song, on the tune, on the trup, and be makel, obviously, on any pronunciations that doesn't change the significance of the word. So as we said last week, if he says kesef instead of kasef, no brainer, it's fine. On the other hand, if he says tignov instead of lo tignov, thou shalt steal instead of thou shalt not steal, then obviously it's a huge mistake and you have to tell him and correct him. I can't give better ideas than that, other than people should learn the laning, and there should be people that know how to do it. On a Monday or Thursday, it's not that long. It's possible. And as I said, I didn't want to do it at the beginning, but it's a huge asset that I have for life now, Baruch Hashem, until those brain cells begin to die. I can lane, and I think that it's important to always have shuls with people that know how to lane, so you don't have this problem, which can definitely come up. I heard from Rabbi Bienenfeld that in Boston one year, Rav Soloveitchik was very makvid not only to lane, obviously, from a Sefer Torah for Kriyas HaTorah, but also he would lane the Megillas from a Megillah. Like Minhag HaGra, because he came from the Gra. So the Megillah of Rut, for example, which is not that long, he lane from an actual Megillah. And the guy who was supposed to lane didn't show up. And therefore, exactly what I said happened. He said, look in the pasuk and then look in the klaf. Look in the pasuk in the chumash, look in the klaf. Rabbi Bienenfeld said they got home at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Not a happy sight for second day Shavuos. But, as I said, you daven with Rav Soloveitchik, you pay a price. Yes, someone had his hand up. No? Okay, no problem. Moving on. Shabbos morning. Shabbos morning, you have to remember, as I said earlier, that the beginning of davening of Psukei Dezimra is Baruch She'amar, and it ends at the end of Yishtabach. We do something very strange on Shabbos, and in the middle of it, have a new chazan come up. Just like during the week, we have a new chazan come up at Yishtabach. Theoretically, as I said, Yishtabach makes sense that the chazan has to say prior to saying the Chatzi Kaddish. But since Nishmat is one long bracha, as we do on the Seder night, it's called Birkat Hashir in the Mishnah, and we do it on both Seder nights, and we also do it every Shabbos. If you think about it, the chazan should have started at Nishmat, which is the beginning of that bracha, ending with Yishtabach and going into Chatzi Kaddish. For reasons beyond me, I don't really know, the Chazan starts at Shochinad, or on Yontev at Hakel v'ta'atzimot u'zecha. And of course, Rosh Hashanah HaMelech, because of the connotation, and then since Rosh Hashanah, then Yom Kippur. However, it is one bracha. And therefore, a Chazan should not talk. Looks like anyone shouldn't talk. From Nishmat all the way through Yishtabach. So, basic rule is you don't talk from Baruch She'amar all the way through Yishtabach. But as I said before, it's not the end of the world for certain situations. But Nishmat, till the end of Yishtabach, is like saying Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, how are you, bracha? Everything all right? Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz. You're literally stopping in the middle of a bracha. And therefore, both, I would say, the chazan, everyone, but definitely the chazan, he should not get up there and start saying Shochenad, etc., if he didn't say Nishmat. It's like literally picking up from Hamotzi Lechem min Haaretz, which is a big halachic debate if you can say a chatzi bracha or half a bracha or not. So therefore, wherever the chazan is, if he starts talking, you should tell him, hey, you're not supposed to talk. Start from Nishmat, go from the beginning, and take over at Shochenad. So Nishmat is one long bracha. Just like I said that about the chazan to be, the same is true about the chazan that was. Since there's a chazan walking off the bima, then usually, there's a beautiful thing in shul, we give him a yeshar koach. I never understood it, but I think it's beautiful. that even though the guy did what he we do every week, he says a few words from the Siddur, we say, Yashar Koach, go right to strength, which I think is beautiful. It's acknowledging he did something for the community. Now, Yashar Koach is wonderful as long as it's not in the middle of Nishmat. So shaking hands, I think, is okay without talking, but actually saying Shkoyach and then saying, how are you? How's the family? It's again like saying it in the middle of Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz. And therefore, I would deter people from doing that. I would be honest with you, I don't know how you can deter people from doing that unless the chazan that was doesn't return to a seat so fast. Namely, chazan gets up, says Shochinad, he waits for a minute until he gets to the end of Yishtabach, and then returns to his seat. Or he quickly says to the end of Yishtabach, and then returns to his seat. But it is a problem to stop in the middle of that bracha, both for the chazan that will be, and the chazan that was. And therefore, I would definitely try to find a way to gently tell people not to talk in the middle of that bracha. Moving on from Nishmat. We're getting up to Hanukkah, so I just wanted to mention with regard to Shabbos and Hanukkah candles that the basic minhag during the week of Hanukkah, a minhag that we don't really understand, but this is paskin in Shulchan Aruch, we light candles in shul. The best explanation I heard, even though it's not a home, and that's where the candle should be lit, either at the entrance to your home, the entrance to your chatzer, to your courtyard, or by your window facing the public thoroughfare, or b'sha'at ha-sakana in the home, a shul is neither. After all, a shul doesn't even get a mezuzah because it's not a home. So why is it that b'chol zot we light in the shul? The best explanation I heard is from the Gra. The Gra says that every one of the Yomim Tovim that have a miracle, we have an obligation of Pirsumei Nisa, of publicizing the miracle. Now, if everyone, like in Israel, lights the menorah at their windowsill, then you publicize the miracle. But first of all, not everyone does. There are places that it's more dangerous. Number two, there are people that, excuse me for saying so, are homeless, maybe not homeless every day of their life, but happen to be homeless that night. Namely, they're on a train, they're on a plane, and they can't light Hanukkah candles. They're about to go on a trip. So says the Gra, how are you going to publicize the miracle? In shul, there'll be people. And therefore, that's the best place to publicize the miracle. Very much, he says, like on the night of Pesach, according to many poskim, you say Hallel in shul with a bracha on both nights of Pesach, because it's publicizing the miracle, even though you're about to do it at home, just like on Hanukkah. You publicize the miracle by doing it together as a minyan in shul. So, that's the best explanation I heard. Because, again, according to the rules and regulations of Hanukkah candles, it should be in a home, connected to a home. And therefore, doing it in shul makes no sense. But that is what's paskened in the Shulchan Aruch, and we make a bracha on it, the works. When do we light? In shul, the common minhag is to light between mincha and ma'ariv. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the father of Rav Soloveitchik, explained that because you actually have a minyan congregated, namely, people are in shul for mincha, and they're not leaving till ma'ariv, and the in-between point, that's where you light candles. This is fine all week long, but on Erev Shabbos, time is of the essence. So, even he says, Erev Shabbos, it's a problem. But others say, no, you can light before Mincha, because they're congregated for Mincha. They're about to daven Mincha, no one's leaving the shul. However, I would say that in my opinion, you should not light the Hanukkah candles in shul with a bracha, unless there's a minyan there. If there's a minyan there, I believe you can light with a bracha in the shul. But if there's no minyan, I would deter people from doing it with a bracha. That's my own opinion. There may be other opinions out there. Motzei Shabbos of Hanukkah, the minhag is that in shul, we light the Hanukkah candles again when the minyan's still congregated. Namely, after Vihi Noam, And before V'yiten Lecha, if you say it, before Havdalah, if you say it, before Aleinu, and the Kaddish Yatom. At home, everyone has different minhagim, what to do on Motzei Shabbos Chanukah. We won't get into that. But in Shul, that's where we usually light Chanukah candles. At Kan B'inyanei Chanukah, and there's the following question. I didn't exactly understand the question, Shalom Meir, but I think I got it. And that is, if there's no minyan, the rabbi gives a drasha. And after the rabbi gives the drasha, the minyan comes in and he does chazarat hashatz. Is that what you mean? Okay. If that's what you mean, I don't think it's the end of the world, because once you finish the amida, then the Chazarat HaShatz is sort of an additional new chelik of davening. So you're allowed to talk, theoretically, between the two. There is no limitation I know of talking at that point. So therefore, it's a good idea, in my opinion, for the rabbi to give a drasha then, because it's filling in the time with content. It's a bit more problematic for the rabbi to give a drasha during Psukei Dezimra, unless he finished Ishtabach already, before Baruch Hu, where it would probably be less problematic. But I would say a bit more problematic than after the Amida for the following reason. One of the many exemptions from what's called a Milchemet HaReshut, optional war, is a person that's afraid of his Averis. And one of the Averis the Mishnah in Sota mentions is a person who spoke between Yishtabach and Baruch Hu. Now, that is a problematic Mishnah in many different ways. First of all, you finish Yishtabach, as I mentioned. Second of all, what talking? Idle talking or Divrei Torah? So therefore, there, I think you could be Mekil, but less. But after the Shmoneh Esrei, before the Chazarat HaShatz, I think it's fine to talk. I really don't remember at this point any limitation at that point. And therefore, it might be okay to talk then and maybe wait for someone to come in. I'm just wondering how you repeat Shmoneh Esrei in that regard, because the Chazarat HaShatz, as I mentioned, that is a machlokas, if you say Chazarat HaShatz anyway, or only if you said the silent Amidah first with the minyan. As I said, there's two opinions, and the best thing to do is to have someone who didn't daven yet say the Chazarat HaShatz, but as I said, it's not always possible. Namely, not always the last guy, the 10th man, can daven for an omelet. Which leads me to my next issue. Chazanim, I don't think I have to tell Gabayim, is a very hard thing to pick. They're either too fast, they're either too slow, they either yench and kvetch, or they don't sing anything, and someone's always going to complain. It's seldom that any Gabay hears about any Chazan that he was just right. I have not yet heard it from any Gabbai I've spoken to. They get complaints, either or. However, there is an objective chazan that shouldn't be chazan. Namely, someone that doesn't know how to pronounce the words or doesn't know what he's doing. So, singing aside, tunes aside, everything's important, but if the chazan doesn't know how to pronounce the words, or the people say, everyone, the nine people in the minyan say, we don't like this chazan, then he shouldn't be chazan, even if he has what's called a chiyuv. And I say that with the proper quotes on either side. A chiyuv, which means an halacha, an obligation, is paskin in Shulchan Aruch as a nice thing to do for the memory of your father or mother. However, quick to point out the Shulchan Aruch, only if he's Merutzeh Lakahal, only if the people like him to be Chazan. Or if they don't like him totally, they like him 95%. But if people truly don't like him as a Chazan, then the Chiyuv does not override that. It's the people that override the Chiyuv. I know this is a bit surprising to hear, because I've heard many, many people say, a chiyuv is a chiyuv, nothing we can do. But But that's not what's paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Mefurash, not. Rav Shechter, of Herschel Shechter, said that during his year of Avelos, he did not daven for an Almud because he thinks he davens too slow and he didn't want everyone to suffer. And he didn't, even though he was in a year of Avelos. Kaddish, you don't take away from him. You can say Kaddish. But davening, representing us, has to be someone that we feel can represent us as a chazan before God. And it can't just be someone that doesn't know how to pronounce the words and doesn't know what he's doing. So I've seen this many times, that someone that has a chiyuv gets up there and unfortunately doesn't know what he's doing and starts the brachos, say, of the chazarat hashatz and forgets to say kedusha. Or during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva makes mistakes, doesn't say even HaMelech HaKadosh, which is the one thing that everyone agrees you have to repeat. That is a problem. And therefore, I don't think a chiyuv overrides. Yes, Bracha.
What if the mourner is not able to, as you say, shouldn't he get an aliyah if it's a Monday or Thursday or Shabbos?
The answer is, we said it last week, that they're one of the people that have the right of way for an aliyah. Especially if they're the only one in shul that's on that list. There's no chasan, there's no bris, they should for sure get an aliyah. And for sure say Kaddish. For sure say Kaddish. Absolutely.
Thank you.
By the way, I will add, Bracha, that in one of my former trips, just recently in America, I actually was in a shul where someone had yahrzeit. He didn't daven, but he got an aliyah, and even that was difficult for him. But because, as someone said, because he actually sponsored the tikkun after davening, people forgave him. But even if he didn't have Dunkin' Donuts after davening, even if he didn't have the food outside, I would say as follows. An aliyah doesn't take that long, so people will forgive him. In the sense of, it's all right, he has a yahrzeit, you know, two more minutes will not kill us. But...
Yeah. My husband was very slow in davening. So he could not lead, you know, be the chazan, but he did want an aliyah, and he did sponsor a kiddush afterwards.
For sure, an aliyah is, I think, appropriate and suitable, and should be given, absolutely. But davening is a different story. It's longer, and I think your husband did correctly by saying, I daven too slow for everyone, or if you daven too fast for everyone, it's the same thing. I can tell everyone that I don't just say this, I practice this. In my latest book called Musings of a Minyanair, I put it in a footnote that when I was in my year of Avelos, I happened to visit Cancun, Mexico. And the rabbi of the Minyan, the daily Minyan there, was my student, not just a rabbi, but it was a Sephardic shul. Now, even though I have a Hebrew accent, I cannot daven as a Sephardi. And therefore, I refused to daven for an amud, even though they wanted to give it to me. I said, there's a minhag of the shul. There's a way you're used to davening. You pronounce the chet and the ayins different than me. You say every word out loud, unlike the Ashkenazic chazan, who's like a traffic light, you know? He tells you when to stop and when to go. But he doesn't say every word out loud. I didn't feel that everyone has to suffer because of me. And I refused to be chazan. I said, Kaddish. I think bracha I got an aliyah, but I did not act as a chazan, and I did that again in one of my trips in another shul, where again, I felt that my Hebrew accent would be too much for the people there. That's in terms of davening. In terms of an aliyah, in terms of Kaddish, I don't think it's a problem. I will say one thing about this that I think is important. There is great importance to membership in a shul. And therefore, on this level, I personally advise that a member comes before a visitor. So if a member, for example, comes in and says, I don't know, I have an anniversary, I want to get an aliyah. It's not on the list. And someone has yahrzeit. I think you have to consider very carefully who to give the aliyah to. Because membership in a shul does give you certain rights halachically. And therefore, just to give it to someone who has yahrzeit, I'm not so sure it's the right decision. I can tell you that this year I dealt with a very complicated issue. someone wanted to resign his membership in a shul for the following reason. He had a bar mitzvah parsha, which he's leined all these years, and he was supposed to lein. And at the last minute, the shul says, we have a bar mitzvah, not of a member, but someone coming in from the outside, and they're going to have a bar mitzvah in our shul. And therefore, bar mitzvah obviously is more important than you leining for the 50th time in your life. And he literally wanted to resign his membership. He said, why am I a member? Some Johnny come lately comes in and pushes me aside. Very complicated. And I really think it has to be considered very carefully. If you pay membership in a shul, then in many different areas you come before, people that come in from the outside, even if they have yahrzeit or whatnot. And I think that's very important. Again, Kaddish, today the minhag is everyone says Kaddish. So it's not like we have to do a raffle who will be the designated Kaddish reciter. So that's a non-brainer in most shuls. Unless you're a real yeki that only has one Kaddish. Meaning, they say the Kaddishim, but only one person says it. So you have to decide who gets the right of way. But if everyone says Kaddish, that's a no-brainer. On the other hand, who gets the third Aliyah, which is only one on a Monday or Thursday for a Yisraeli, I think it has to be considered. Membership is very important. That's what makes the shul continue functioning. And to say a member is pushed aside for a Johnny come lately, I would consider it very carefully and ask your Rav. I don't think the answer is simply whoever has a yahrzeit or whatnot. Okay. Moving on. Changing tunes for Torah reading. Someone asked me, someone came in and didn't exactly lein like everyone. Not that he leined like a yeki, not that he leined like a non-yeki, but rather on Parshat Masay, he leined the Masa'ot, the name of the places, in a sing-song. You know, it goes something like this. Vayisu from over here, vayavo over there. Vayisu from over here, vayavo over there. And the shul wasn't used to it. And they told him to stop. So first of all, the nigin is not ma'akef. If he leined properly, he said the words properly, and those are hard words, some of those masa'ot, then the nigin is not ma'akef. And number two, I thought it was nice that, someone brought a little excitement into the Torah reading. Just like we changed the nigun, and this is more mikubal, we changed the nigun for Az Yashir, and we lane it in a different way. Some people change the nigun in Parshat Ba'alotcha, when it talks about the places where everyone camped around the Mishkan. So there too, there's a minhag to change the nigun a bit. Just like we changed the nigun in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur in many shuls. So the nigun is not ma'akev. Really not ma'akev. What I think is ma'akev is if people don't like it. Because then they will be disenfranchised from the Torah reading, and that is a big price to pay. So therefore, if an Ashkenazi shul asks a Sephardi to lein, and he leins in a Sephardic way that takes too long, that would be, in my opinion, something to tell him, hey, please don't lein that way. But all he does is change the nigun. I don't think it's the end of the world, as long as the people are not feeling they're totally disassociated with what's happening. The same thing opposite. If you're in a shul where they change the nigun for Parshat Bahalotcha regarding where they camped around the Mishkan, or in Parshat Masay for the Masa'ot, and the laner didn't know and didn't change the nigun. Again, it's not ma'akev, it's fine, you can lane it the regular way, you can lane on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur the regular way, and nothing's going to happen. Obviously, if that's the minhag of the shul, he should be told afterwards, and hopefully next year, he'll get it and he'll do it properly. By the way, the same thing is for sure true with the Haftorah. All the Haftorahs, we basically lane in the same nigun, with the exception of one. The Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, the Ashkenazic custom, is to lein the majority of the Haftorah known as Shabbat Chazon, Chazon Yishayahu ben Amotz, the first perek in Sefer Yishayahu, to lein it in the mournful nigun of Eicha. Now, I'll be honest with you, it's not the entire Haftorah. The minhag was to lay most of it that way, but the more happier parts to lay in the regular way, culminating at the last two psukim, which for sure we lay in the regular way. So it's a bit complicated. You have to know what's happy and what's sad, and you have to be able to go back and forth. That's not so simple. So, you know, in a perfect world, you get someone who knows what he's doing, and that's the end of the story. But sometimes you ask someone to be maftir, he gets up there, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and he tries, or he doesn't try, or he doesn't know. The niggun is not me'akev, unless, again, it totally and utterly disassociates everyone. They're going to get so upset. But I don't think for one haftorah everyone's going to get very upset, and it's worth sort of embarrassing the person and saying, hey, what are you doing? You didn't do the eicha. So from this perspective, I would be a bit careful on that, and because the niggun is not na'akev. Again, in a perfect world, you find the right person to do it. If I'm already on the topic of nigunim, or nusach, I will say as follows. If you have what's called a Shabbos Yontif, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, there are chazanim that like to show off, that they can go back and forth. So when they get to V'yom HaShabbat in Musaf, they say it in the Shabbos Nusach. And when they get to the Korbanot of Rosh Chodesh or of Yantiv, they say it in the Yantiv Nusach. And let's say Rosh Hashanah coming up this year is on Shabbos, the first day. So they're going to say V'yom HaShabbat in the Shabbos Nigun. And then they'll go back to the Yomim Noraim Nigun for U'vachodesh HaShvi'i, talking about the Korbanos of Rosh Hashanah. You should know that according to the Or Sameach, in the way he reads the sugya, it's actually a mistake, because Shabbos and Yontif combine into one. In other words, they're not two people living in the same dorm room. They've literally united as one. As I like to say it, it's not two people sharing an apartment. It's a husband and wife. Literally one unit. So therefore, there's no reason to go back and forth. If you use the Nigun for Yontiv, you can use it for Uviyoma Shabbat too, and the Or Sameach proves it from Sugiyas in the Gemara, how it combined into one in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, there's no reason in that regard to show off and to say, hey, I can go back and forth between different Nuschals, different ways of Nusach. That's in terms of Nusach. Moving on, so which Nusach should he use? In my opinion, he should use the Nusach of Yontif, or of Rosh Chodesh. The reason for that is, it's a new kind of an entity called a Musaf of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, or a Musaf of Shabbos Yontif. And therefore, the Nusach is the Nusach of Yontif in that regard, and not the Nusach of Shabbos. No, namely, the Nusach of Shabbos is only if Shabbos comes along. So, say Shabbos Chol HaMoed in the morning. We say the regular Amida for Shabbos, we just add Yalev Yavo. It should be the Shabbos Nusach, even for Yalev Yavo. Once you get to Musaf, in my opinion, it's the Yontif Nusach. But again, Nusach is also not Ma'akev. I say Nusach is like the laning. If it annoys people, then I believe it's a problem. I can tell you that on Yontif night, not so long ago, Pesach night, it was during the height of COVID. So we were still davening, at least in Israel, outside in a parking lot. We had a minyan under the regulations that Israel had then, albeit outside. We couldn't be inside. And you can well imagine it's not your regular shul, so you don't have your regular chazanim. And I was running the minyan, but I didn't feel that since I was running the minyan, I should be the one to daven all the time. So obviously I tried to the best of my ability to disperse it amongst people. So I figured the night of Pesach, you know, people know it's the night of Pesach. They know in Israel, most shuls say halal with a bracha the night of Pesach. You know, they know the nusach of Yontif, you know, baruch hu, that nusach. Turns out the guy didn't know that nusach. And someone actually walked out saying, you ruined my Yontif. No more, no less. He didn't do Hamari, Baravim. That's it, I'm out. So, As far-fetched as you may think it is, someone walked out of shul saying, you ruined my yontif. How did I get to it? I didn't know he walked out. We were outside, but I didn't know he walked out till the next morning when he came to me and asked me a shaila. And that is, should he have said halal with a bracha without a minyan? My opinion was no, but I asked him, but you were here. And then he told me he walked out. So there are people that are sensitive. So you should know it's out there. That's in terms of nusach and in terms of nigun. I'm not talking about songs during davening. That is a whole art in and of itself. I will just say the following. In my latest book, Musings of a Minyanir, I have a whole chapter on this, where I give various rules and regulations, which nigunim to use, which not to use. I'll just say as follows. It should be a nigun that A, people know, and B, people are excited about. So there are nigunim that people know, but they're so old that they're not excited about. And there are nigunim that people are very excited about, but they can't sing along because they don't know it yet. So that should be the rule. Namely, it's a nigun that you people know and they're excited about. Number three, it should meet the words you say. Namely, for Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov and Hallel, you shouldn't use a funeral nigun or some sort of a nigun for the end of Tisha B'Av. And vice versa, for the part of Hallel that says, Ana Hashem Oshiana, God save me, you don't have a happy clappy tune either. So those are my three rules with nigunim. People know it, people are excited about it, and it meets the significance of the words. So you got to know where you're standing in davening. Who shall live and who shall die is not a part that you start singing Od Yishama Ba'ara Yehuda. On the other hand, when you sing the Chom Aminim, which is a beautiful, happy tune about what the Jewish people believe in, the Yetayu Chol Ovdecha, that we give God the crown of glory, the crown of Malchus, then obviously it's a happy tune. So you got to know the words, and you got to know which tune is obviously appropriate for the right word. So those are my three cardinal rules regarding nigunim. People know it, people get excited about it, and number three, it meets the words. Regarding repeating words, this is an ancient problem. Ancient problem. 120 years ago, the Aruch HaShulchan talked about it. Before him, people spoke about it. After him, people spoke about it. Some people say, I'll just make it very simple, if you repeat words to enhance davening, it's okay. Others say, no, you should never, ever, ever repeat words. A middle position is you can't repeat words in the crux of davening. They are called Kriyat Shema, the Amida, Chazarat Hashatz, but in the Piyutim, it's okay to repeat words. So you don't repeat words when you say Atavich Artanu Mikol HaAmim Anyantiv, but you can repeat words in Lechadodi or Vechom Amin. Those are the three opinions, very, very simplified. I would just say as follows. If you're going to repeat words, you have to take into consideration two things. Number one, that people enjoy it. Namely, they're repeating words in a nigun that they know. So therefore, they're singing along. If you're the only one repeating words and you're the chazan, I think that's a bit of a problem because you're the only one that's enjoying it. And number two, it should not be with Hashem's name. Namely, it's very, very problematic to say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem. Because then you're ke'ilu saying there's two gods. Number one and number two. So if you're going to say God's name, I don't think you can repeat words. That's a sugya in the Gemara in Brachos about saying modim, modim, as if you're saying thank you to two gods. And that would be a problem. As a chazan, I can tell you, I don't repeat words anywhere. I don't think it's necessary, but there are other chazanim out there and it's legitimate. If it enhances davening, again, there are poskim that allow it. Moving on. Smichat Geula Letfila. In the morning, there's an obligation to say Ga'al Yisrael and immediately start the Amidah. Therefore, you should instruct the Chazanim not to take their three steps back after they say Ga'al Yisrael. They should say the three steps back and three steps forward before saying Baruch Atah Hashem, Ga'al Yisrael. That's the proper way to do it on every day of the year in the morning at Shachris. On Shabbos and Yontiv, there is an opinion on the Ramah that you don't have to somech Ge'ula L'Tfilah. So maybe there you don't have to necessarily tell the Chazan in the aftermath that he made a mistake. But preferably, even then, there are other opinions. And you should again, Baruch Atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael, and immediately start your Amida Hashem Sfatai Tiftach without taking your three steps back at that point, let alone look at your phone or other things. When it comes to saying Ga'al Yisrael, there's different opinions. I would say the majority opinion is that the Chazan should say Ga'al Yisrael. It's part of his Chazan duties to say the end of the bracha. If I can go back to the Ashkenazic Chazan, the classical Ashkenazic Chazan only says the beginning and end of the Birkos Kriyat Shema. Right? He says, Abba Rabba Aftanu Lulula, Baruch Atah Hashem Ochem Oisar Be'ava. So at least that he should say out loud. So Ga'al Yisrael, Baruch Atah Hashem, Ga'al Yisrael, the majority opinion is the Chazan must say it out loud. The question is not if the Chazan should say it out loud. The question is about all of us. Do we say Amen or not? On the one hand, it's a bracha, so you should say Amen. On the other hand, it's a hefsek, an interruption between Geula L'tfilah. You don't say Ga'al Yisrael and right away go into your Amida. So again, there's different opinions on this. I believe that the best thing to do is to say Ga'al Yisrael together with the Chazan. If you say it word for word, letter for letter with the Chazan, then you don't have to say Amen. And then you go right into your Amida at the same time with the Chazan. That would be the best thing to do for a shul. There are other opinions out there. But some say the Chazan shouldn't say it out loud. Others say other things, but I think that's the most straightforward way of working. Chazan says it out loud, congregation says it with him. Baruch Atah Hashem, Ga'al Yisrael, and they begin the Amida. The Amida should begin with the words, Hashem Sfatai Tiftach Ufi Yagid Tehilatecha. That was a takana of Chazal, even for Chazarat Hashatz. Kishem Hashem Ekra, that some people say, at Mincha, that's different Minhagim. But Hashem Sfatai Tiftach is part of the Amida. And therefore, I believe a Chazan should say it too before he begins his Chazarat Hashatz. Yiyula Ratzon Imrei Fri at the end of the Amida is a little different. There's a Machlokas if it's part of or not part of. But the beginning Hashem Sfatai Tiftach is, which means that the Chazan should take its three steps back, three steps forward before his Chazarat Hashatz, before he says Hashem Sfatai Tiftach. Those words should be said with his feet together because it's part of the Amida. Not a part, but part of the Amida. So, at the end of the Amida, when the Chazan's ready, he takes his three steps back, three steps forward, or just three steps forward because he's standing there since he finished his Amida. Then says Hashem Sfatai Tiftach, may God open my lips. And then he begins his Amida. Bar mitzvah kids as Chazan. Bar mitzvah kids as Chazan. One second, what is the ideal moment to take the three steps before silent Amida as a Chazan? The best thing to do is, at Tehilot Le'el Elyon, take your three steps back. And then, when you get to Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Va'ed, take your three steps forward, Sur Yisrael, out loud, Baruch Atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael, and start your Amida. That's the minhag that's written in Shulchan Aruch. At Tehilot Le'el Elyon, you start buttoning your suit, you take your three steps back, and you walk forward, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Va'ed, or around then. Nine bar mitzvah kids as Chazan, I personally think it's a good idea, as long as someone goes ahead and listens to them. So they can't be chazen for Shachris or Musaf. They can be for Pesukei Dezimra. They could be for Kabbalah Shabbos up until Ma'ariv. And I personally think it's a good idea. It's a way to train them to be chazanim. And we want them one day to be chazanim. And the shul is a communal gathering place for everyone. So I personally think it's a good idea, and I encourage it. And one condition, that someone listens to them prior and sort of says, he's ready. If not, I think it could be terrible. Someone gets up there, mumbles words. It can be very, very bad. I would only add that if the kid is ready to be chazen for Kabbalah Shabbos or Pesukei Dezimra, he should say the words. I've seen many times that these kids in training get up there, say, Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid, and then they say nothing. And then they say, L'man Yizamecha Chavad V'lo Yidom. They were taught to wait 2 minutes or whatever, a minute and a half, and say it. That's a problem, in my opinion, that we're not training them correctly. Chinuch should be authentic chinuch for these kids. And therefore, if they're going ahead and only saying the beginning and the end, again, they're not motzias, so it's not a detrimental thing to us, but I think it's bad chinuch. We're teaching them that chazen means not to say every word. Chazen means to say the beginning and the end and forget about the middle. And that's not what the chazen should do. And therefore, I don't think that's a good idea. And therefore, again, someone should listen to them and train them. And I think that's the right thing to do. Obviously, without offending them. If they have to work on it, you say, come back in a week. I think that's 100% legitimate. I'll be honest with you. I was a kid in America till I was 11. Then my parents made Aliyah. I lived in the five towns. And my shul was the Young Israel of Woodmere, who had an amazing youth department that encouraged us to daven and to lane and whatnot, obviously in a youth minion, not in a minion to lane or whatnot. But suffice it to say, in the main shul, we were allowed to say from Ein Kelokeinu through Anim Zmirot. But there was someone that tested us. And if we weren't ready, he said, you have to work on this, you have to work on that. Come back in a week. I never felt offended. I felt they want me to succeed. They're giving me pointers, and I'm moving on. And those that said, forget it, forget it. I think God didn't say forget it, and I was able to do it eventually. I don't think it's a terrible thing. I think it would have been a terrible thing if no one ever heard me, and I would get up there and make a fool out of myself. It would embarrass myself, probably my parents. The whole shul has to suffer for it. I don't think that's worth it. And therefore, I think if a kid is listened to by a gabbai, by someone designated, he should be encouraged to daven before bar mitzvah, the parts that you're allowed, Kabbalah Shabbos, Pesukei Dezimra, from Ein Kelokeinu and on. After bar mitzvah, I think the same thing applies. He should be encouraged to daven, but I would advise not to start him off with Shachris on Shabbos, if you know what I mean. He could be a great kid, wonderful voice, but start him off easy. Ma'ariv. From Ma'ariv, Mincha. Work him from Mincha to Shachris, and then he'll be trained and attuned, and he'll be able to be a chazen like every other chazen. But gradually get him up there. Don't right away, oh, your bar mitzvah yesterday, no problem, today you're 13 in 2 days. Lead us in Shachris. I think that could be a very big problem. And again, it embarrasses him, maybe his parents, and makes the whole shul suffer. And I don't think that's worth it. It can be very easily solved by someone designated that ultimately is there to give him those pointers before he gets up there, just like after he gets up there. But I have a rule. If I'm going to tell a chazen off, if you know what I mean, meaning I think he did something wrong, I never do it ad hoc, because that's sort of emotional. I wait a day or two, and I call him on the phone. Or I leave him a message to call me if he's interested. I don't think it's right to do it ad hoc, because what happens is, if you do it ad hoc, the person gets very defensive and sort of fights back. And then nothing's solved. Therefore, I wait a day or two, and if it still bothers me, I write it down. I call the chazen. Usually, I get an attentive ear if that's the way you do it. I just wanted to end on the following note. Amount of Mourner's Kaddish. I can think of many things that maybe, quote unquote, annoy people in shul. The length of davening, the wrong chazan, many, many different things. But one of the things that's a built-in problem, meaning a Murphy's Law, is the Mourner's Kaddish. On the one hand, many of our minyanim are only in existence because we have mourners that come. For the 11 months, whatever it is, that makes the minyan. So to tell them, listen, say one Kaddish, and good enough, is a problem. On the other hand, just think about, let's say, the month of Elul. So, or the month of Tishrei, even worse. So you have Slichos, that takes a long time. And then, if you're Nusach Ashkenaz, you say a Mourner's Kaddish after Rabbi Yishmael Omer, and after Mizmor Shir. Then, at the end of davening, with the davening being longer than usual, with Avinu Malkeinu and Shir HaMaalos and all the additions, you get to Aleinu, Mourner's Kaddish, Shir Shel Yom, Mourner's Kaddish. I don't know if you say Yentel Okeinu in Chutz Laaretz Nusach Ashkenaz, but let's put that in. And then L'David Hashem Ori, Mourner's Kaddish. That's a lot to ask, not so much of the mourners, but for the people that are not mourners. And therefore, I'm sure you've seen the scene. I've seen it many times. At that time of the year, the exit of the synagogue, or the exit of the synagogue, becomes even bigger. People leave after Kaddish Tiskabel or whatnot. It's not a nice scene. In a perfect world, we get all the Avelim together and we tell them, let's do one Kaddish after Aleinu, Shir Shel Yom, L'David Hashem, one Kaddish. One is as good as two. And again, I said Kaddish, I didn't think it made a difference if I said one Kaddish or two. And the general rule is you say one Kaddish at every minyan, I think that suffices. However, it's a very emotional issue, as you all well imagine, for many people. And to tell them that is a problem. But, I'll be honest, having so many Kaddishim at davening is also a problem. Many, many, many poskim said that because Kaddish is so holy, it should not be superfluous. It shouldn't be said so cheaply. It has to be considered if it should be said or shouldn't be said. And therefore, it's a built-in Murphy's Law. Again, in a perfect world, I think it should be limited. And as someone who has Yortzeit in a few months, I went through a year of Avelus not so long ago, I'll be the first to volunteer. Not because I'm not going to come to Minyan, I am going to come to Minyan, but I'll say one Kaddish instead of two. I don't think it's a big deal. But for many people, it's a very, very emotional issue. And allow me to end with the following story. There was a guy who got off the plane in Israel at Lod, in Lod, which is where the airport is. It says Tel Aviv on your ticket, but it's basically Lod. And he was saying Kaddish for his father, so he ran to the first minyan in Lod, which was a Sephardic minyan. And at the end of the minyan, they said Kaddish, like I just said. They said a Kaddish after Shir Shel Yom, Nusach Sfaradi, they say Shir Shel Yom first, then Enkel Okeinu, and then after Aleinu, they don't say Kaddish, but they had a Dvar Alocha. And then they said a Kaddish. And then someone said he has a, what we call Kelmoli, an Askara. So they said Kaddish. So this guy got very annoyed and said to his neighbor, don't you people know you're not supposed to say so many Kaddishim? Asur laharbot bekaddishim? To which this guy sitting next to him said, really? Is that a halacha? He said, yes. Oh, Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha Omer, and they said another Kaddish. So you can well understand that Kaddish is an emotional issue. I suggest to limit it. But again, I can't say I have all the answers how to do it. I think one Kaddish per davening, or maybe two, is good. In a perfect world, Shabbos morning, I would say Kaddish after Shachris, Shir Shel Yom, before you take out the Torah, if that's where you say Shir Shel Yom, and one after Enkel Okeinu. And with this, it suffices. But, as I said, it is a very, very emotional issue. With that, I'm happy to conclude, but again, it's to be not the end, but the beginning. Whoever would like to be in touch, both on davening, beyond davening, it would be my pleasure to be in touch with you. I wish you all, first and foremost, a Shavua Tov. Second of all, a Chodesh Tov, as we begin this beautiful month of Kislev. And Be'ezrat Hashem, you should all have a happy Hanukkah and an easy and healthy winter as well.
Thank you.
My pleasure, everyone. Have a good night or a good afternoon, wherever you might be.
Thank you. Take care. Thanks
again. Take care, Larry. All best.
Bye.